This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
And tonight, it's wonderful to have Caroline Farrow back with us once again. Caroline, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Good evening. Hello, everyone.
Great to have you, and I'm sure we'll have a wonderful natter over the next 45 or 50 minutes. Caroline, of course, works for Citizen Go, but of course, anything she says are not Citizen Go's views, but are her own views, just in case she goes off piece. I'm sure she wouldn't.
No.
So you can find her on, there's her Twitter handle, and carolinefarrow.net on her website. And of course, those are in the description, whichever social media platform you've been on watching, or in the description on the videos, everything is there for you to watch. So wonderful. Spanner Taylor says, Ulster Man and Devon Loud and Clear on YouTube. Wonderful. Anna Turner, Evening Everyone from Cheshire. Sorry, I can't read. Sorry, I'm trying to stare on YouTube. Thank you so much. Great to have you all watching or listening. Let's jump in and have a look at some of the topics. And the first one, I think, is this is a wonderful, now this was further down our news, so Caroline's thinking, what's coming? It's a wonderful day, a day where actually something has happened that I thought was impossible, but no, because the impossible is now possible. What you thought could not happen is now the norm. And that is, here we have. So it is, it's so exciting that we have someone who is not born a woman, actually is celebrated as a woman. How chaotic is the world? Here we have, for the Daily Mail, controversial transgender weightlifter Laurel Hubbard is named Sportswoman of the Year in New Zealand. How does someone get Sportswoman of the Year who's not even born a woman? I don't know for how long Laurel supposedly has been a woman, but well done for them being a woman, although they failed to make the first lift in the Olympics. Maybe it should be the Paralympics, but that's a whole other question. So, yes, Caroline, we have a someone who's born a male, now says they're a female, lifts weights, wins Sportswoman of the Year. What does this do for the feminist movement?
Nothing. I mean, we're laughing and it is hysterical. It's funny. This morning I had a text from someone I haven't spoken to in a while, who said, Caroline, have you seen the Monty Python Life of Brian sketch? It's all of it. It's like, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, you can be a woman if you want to be, you know, if you can have babies. If you don't know that sketch, look it up, Loretta. But I mean, it is hysterical in a way. It's very, very funny, but it's also very alarming because look at Laurel, look at him. And, you know, I'm going to misgender, and please come and arrest me if you must. I mean, it is a bloke. It is a big, fat, strapping bloke. You know, you can tell it's every single pore of him screams bloke. Yeah, you're scrolling up now. Look at his big fat muscles and that grimacing face and the arms. It is a man, you know.
No. I'm sure the pink trainers. It must be a lady. Must be.
I'm a lady. You know, it's clearly a man, and we know it's a man, and yet we are being forced to say, what a wonderful woman, and let's celebrate and acknowledge, you know, what a great thing. This is an appalling thing for female sport, not least because the person that he kicked off the New Zealand Olympic team was a 19-year-old woman. And so he's taking, we all know that once you're on the Olympic squad, it's a great honour for you, for your country. It opens up so many opportunities. It is a life-changing opportunity. And he's taking that life-changing opportunity away from a young... and in fact, I think the 19-year-old was... was she Samoan? She was native... native Kiwi. And so he's actually stripping somebody, if you're going to go in for diversity medals, he's stripping a young 19-year-old, you know, native New Zealand woman from he's denying that person a life-changing opportunity, and it's going to decimate female sports because people are going to say, what's the point? What is the point? What is the point of me trying to compete when I've got some big bloke that we have to come along and bow down to? And, you know, there was, I think there was another Dutch, there was a Dutch female weightlifter who just said, this is a bad joke. And then she was silenced and she was forced to apologise. And we are all being gaslit. We're all being forced to, we see with our own eyes in front of us, this is a man. This is clearly a man. And yet we're all having to pretend it's a woman, and it is both hilariously funny, but it's also very, very alarming and upsetting.
Oh, it is. But let's carry on the upsetment to Carrie Johnson, who shed a tear for the LGBT community. This is the, well, our Conservative Party conserving absolutely nothing but trashing and destroying everything that we hold dear as a country. Carrie Johnson tells Tory party conference, I've wept over LGBT hit. PM's wife speaks up for trans rights at event co-hosted by Stonewall. And there she is, and her husband Boris was also in the crowd applauding away. I don't know how this fits in. I mean, I understand, and I guess I do agree to a point with civil partnerships, in that whatever sexual orientation you want to be, whatever you want to decide, you should have equal rights and protections in society. My big concern was it will lead to same-sex marriage, which it obviously did, even though we were promised. But, I mean, obviously Boris doesn't make any decisions himself, but he has Carrie or the dog Dylan making the decisions for him. What are your thoughts on this for our political makeup, Caroline?
I think this is disgusting. It doesn't actually matter. Well, I was going to say it doesn't actually matter what she said. It does. But, you know, yes, Carrie Johnson is entitled to speak at the Tory conference at a fringe event, just like any other member of the Tory party. But actually, what she should have done is just kept quiet, because she was actually speaking for and on behalf of her husband. And, you know, hang on, we didn't vote for you, Carrie. You know, nobody voted for you. And you're saying, I know the man that I'm married to. I know what his views are. You're representing your husband. And actually, you shouldn't be. You are not elected. Nobody's voted for you. This is really undemocratic. And she's kind of using her position as Boris's wife to build a platform for her. And the other thing, it is very pointed, because Liz Truss has come out and been very firm about gender ideology and how self-ID is not going to be relaxed any further, how we're not going to introduce self-identification. The Tory party has actually been very clear about self-identification and has, you know, drawn a line in the sand, leading many sort of traditionally left-wing feminists to say, well, hang on a minute, the Tory party is currently the only party that's looking out for women. It's the only party that actually we can trust on this. And this is sort of, you know, sending them off into dissonance, because, you know, they're sort of left-wing is in their very, you know, is blood that runs through their veins. And so the Tory party have clearly said, This is our position on gender ideology. It's not a hateful position. It's just we're not going to introduce self-ID. And there she is, taking a dig at Liz Truss, saying, this is what my husband thinks. This is the views of these are his views. This is how he's going to lead on this. It's like, you've got no right to say that. In the same way, so those who don't know who I am, my husband is a priest. And I would never, ever deign to speak for him or to represent his views or to say who he voted for or how he should run the parish, because that's his vocation. That's to him. And my husband is very clear when it comes to his political views. He keeps them to himself because, you know, you're supposed to in that position. So, you know, she's actually taking her husband's position to build a platform for herself and making political digs and political points. She's also very blind in this, in that she's allying herself with Stonewall, who are becoming more and more discredited as a result of gender ideology, their adoption of the transgender cause every single day. You've got institutions dropping them like flies. Apparently the BBC is the latest one. People have seen through their diversity policies. And there she is saying, you know, allying herself with Stonewall. And frankly, Carrie, you're a narcissist. Nobody cares if you've wept tears of hate. You know, you've wept tears because of the hate. I mean, I find all of this it's virtual signaling, and it's saccharine, and it's not genuine. You know, sort of weeping tears of empathy because of non-existent hate. Don't get me wrong, empathy is a great thing, and lots of people are genuinely empathetic. You know, and we see photos of Holocaust victims, for example, awful, dreadful, terrible things. But come on, LGBT hate. What LGBT hate? There isn't any. And actually, I thought she was quite condescending as well. She said, if I was a member of the LGBT community, I'd feel quite patronised, because she said, yeah, well, you know, Boris wore a bit pink Stetson at Pride. I was like, yeah, you know, he really supports your cause. He wears a pink hat. You know, it's just so patronising, so asinine, so vapid, and actually, I won't say dangerous, but actually worrying, because you're not an elected politician. Yeah. She should take a list. Do you remember, you're probably all too young, Dennis Thatcher, Maggie Thatcher's husband, very famously, you know, kept his counsel, didn't get involved. And, you know, she should be like Caesar's wife, you know?
If only it cut off her social media platform and she can keep quiet. And let's move on. This was a fantastic tweet from Zuby. And I really think Zuby is a great individual. He stands up for what he believes in, his whole music side, bodybuilding side, everything. And Zuby said, headbutting the keyboard is not a sexuality. I'll not give our viewers time to come up with what this may be about. Headbutting the keyboard is not a sexuality. It's a beautiful thought. It's a beautiful image of that. And this was Justin Trudeau. Justin Trudeau had, this was his tweet, "Peoples across the country are lighting candles to honour the Indigenous women, girls and 2SLLGBTQQIA+ people who are missing or have been murdered. We must continue to work together, raise awareness and continue to end this ongoing national tragedy. Hashtag sisters in spirit." And it was this 2SLLGBTQQIA+. He forgot the BS at the end, of course. But this, I just love this, Zuby. Headbutting the keyboard is not sexuality. It's just beautiful use of words.
Yeah, Zuby is. I did an interview with Zuby when I almost got arrested. He's a very, very funny guy. And he's just such a wit, you know. And I'm sure everybody's got the joke. but it just shows, you know, I mean, words fail, really, these differing sexualities. Why are we so obsessed with it? Why are we so obsessed with, you know, how somebody identifies or feels about themselves? And in fact, actually, if we're going to talk about missing and murdered people, men and women, you know, where's the sympathy for the murdered Christians in Nigeria? The fact that every single week another Catholic priest or Christian pastor is abducted and murdered in Nigeria. You know, yes, it's terrible when anybody is persecuted, is murdered, you know, on account of their race, their sexuality, their creed, whatever. But we seem to be just really elevating, you know, one group over another. It is. It's just awful virtue signalling. And nobody understands what all of this means. You know, I'm a bipan, two-spirit, gender, fairy. Yes, it's nonsense. And basically it just means I want some attention, I'm cool, you know, I'm with it. I mean, it's quite sad, actually. I'm obviously not going to name names, but somebody who I know, their daughter started year 7 beginning of September, and within 3 weeks has been declaring herself, you know, bi, pan, you know, said, "I'm not a girl, but I don't know if I'm a boy either." And it's because the child has got a trans child, allegedly trans child, joined the year 7 and they've been inquiring. And because they've got a trans child, you know, the school has really ramped up the PSHE, and they've all, you know, been subject to talks on LGBT and on gender ideology. And so she said, my completely normal year seven, 11-year-old girl, within a month of starting secondary school, has come home and is identified, you know, doesn't know who she is. And I just think, thank goodness, you know, I've got a child who's just started secondary school. You know, what they're doing in year seven, basically periods and personal hygiene, you know, stuff that kids of that age should be doing, not sort of, oh, how do you identify? And, you know, let's stick a label on yourself. You know, yes, we can laugh because it's so ridiculous, but it is also really, really insidious. You're forcing children to think about things, sexuality before, you know, that before they're ready for it. They don't really know, you know, year seven, you most of them won't have started their periods. You know, they're still actually right on that cusp. And so to be getting them to think about, well, what sexual label should I put on myself is just obscene and absurd grooming. So although it's funny and we can laugh, you know, I mean, it is, it's like we are living in some bizarre sketch show. You know, this whole, in years to come, you know, will they look back at this podcast? Probably not, because we're all terrible, hateful merchants, but allegedly. But was it, you know, it is like we're living in a 1980s sketch show where we are being forced to look at this, you know, big fat weightlifter, this mediocre weightlifter who couldn't make it as a man, decided to be a woman. And, you know, we're all having to call him a woman. We're, you know, we've got alphabet soup acronyms, you know, I'll just slump my fingers on the keyboard and, you know, that's an identity. It is, we are living in some bizarre parody. This, it's like we have fallen right through the looking glass, you know, down the rabbit hole. And you know, being asked to take this seriously, and those who don't are sort of written off as hateful bigots. And I actually think what we have to continue to do is laugh.
To continue to laugh. That's the only way through it. But also, I think it's essential for any of the viewers watching who are parents, to actually, you need to sit down with your kids. You have to make sure they understand what is right, what is wrong, what is truth. And it's up to you to put in them an understanding of truth, because they don't get it in school any longer, whatever type of school they go to. So don't rely on the education system to give your child any moral framework for life. Make sure and put that in yourself. That's essential. The problem is we've often passed that over to our education system. Don't, please don't.
No. it's for me, it's quite, it's my kids have had a very amusing experience in a way, amusing and scary. So I have been, I have to be very careful what I say, because I'll be sued a third time, but I've been sued twice now over the transgender issue. And my children, and you know, as well, I was on the front, as a journalist, ending up on the front page is your worst nightmare. But you know, I've had numerous criminal and legal issues as a result. And, you know, we try and keep it away from the kids, but obviously, you know, the older one knows what it's all about and has Googled. And so my kids had a really good introduction to this. And, you know, they've Googled various names and things they've heard. And they're like, is that a man? Is that a woman? What's going on? And so we've been able to, you know, in age-appropriate ways, keep the conversation going. And that's what I'd say, actually, whatever it is, if it's sex, sexuality, whatever, just keep the, you don't sit down with your child and have a chat. You just keep the conversation open all the time, and it's really natural. And if you do that, that then means that when they come home and they've been told something dodgy at school, they will then talk about it with you. You know, even if they know that you might go through the roof because they've been told about two spirit panned by whatever, or most likely or not, they'll have been told about it. They'll be skeptical because they've heard it from you, and then, you know, they'll want to discuss it further. But definitely talk to your kids.
Completely. Can I just for the next story, let me bring up Loafer Sheffield says that David Woods' Acts 17 apologetics didn't upload in the number of religiously related murders carried out. David Woods is a fantastic individual. The website, the YouTube channel, Acts 7 Apologetics. Go look him up if you haven't looked at him. He, former Muslim, became a Christian, and is one of the foremost debaters with Muslims. So do make sure, David Woods, great guy, great story, and great YouTube videos. Karen, this was one that you had retweeted, and we'll just touch on it two, 3 minutes, then we'll go on, because I want to leave the diversity LGBT stuff behind us. A study has found a lack of diversity in climate change decision making, with people from diverse backgrounds making up just 3% of discussions. And the title of the program was, "How Can We Make Climate Change Discussions More Inclusive?"
Yes, I know. What did I say? Sure. I mean, in fact, this is really interesting on two counts, right? So I just saw this and I thought, how absurd, how ridiculous. Mm. You know, surely if anybody's making decisions on climate change, it doesn't matter what their background is. What matters is that they're qualified, you know, that they're, I don't know, a qualified scientist, whether they're a meteorologist or whoever. You know, should we say that more Catholics should be making climate change decisions? You know, why should anybody make a climate change? You know, why should it be, represented by every single section of society? Basically, it should only be, if you're going to make decisions or suggestions or proposals about combating climate change, then you need to have some kind of expertise, whether that's scientific, economic, whatever. You know, it's no good you or me opining about climate change. Well, I suppose we can, but people would rightly say, well, why are they qualified to do it? So, you know, it's just kind of this really annoying push that, you know, everything is, you know, diversity has got to be everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. And what was really interesting, and it was a really throwaway comment I made about, you know, who cares? Surely what matters is that you're actually qualified for the job. And a friend of mine said to me, "Caroline, watch your tweets." I was like, "What?" What? And I thought she was talking about, I'd been talking about a completely different topic. And she said, no, not that. The tweet about climate change and diversity. Please be careful. And I was like, what the hell? You know, what? And she said, she was completely on my side. And she said, "You know what they're going to say? They're going to say you're like racist dog whistling." And I said, "What?" And then I said, look at the responses to that tweet. And actually people thought that I had been talking about, you know, LGBT. And I wasn't talking, I was thinking actually about the trans issue, because obviously I tweet and think about that a lot. And I was thinking, what does it matter if, you know, a climate change decision maker, whether they're gay, straight, trans, whatever, or who or where they're from? And she was like, "No, you need to be really careful. They're going to accuse you of racism." And this is why it's quite frightening. This is what's causing people to self-censor. So she was like, "Oh," and I said, "I don't care. I really don't care what people think. I know very well, you know, that I'm not racist. I'm not whatever. I don't have to prove that to anybody." And in fact, you know, she's not white British herself. So, but she was like, just be careful, you know what they're going to say. And I thought, gosh, this is really indicative of most people's experience on social media. You know, we're having to be so careful and think about how could this be interpreted? And I just thought, no, I'm not being silenced. I'm not silent. Yeah. You know, there was nothing untoward meant. Actually, I meant, people who hold positions of authority or influence should do so because they're qualified. It should be a meritocracy, because, you know, they're from whatever background.
Yeah, not completely. Doesn't matter what colour the scientist is or what their background is, as long as they understand what they're talking about. That's really what you want.
Right.
05 Rosebud says, "Hi from Australia, watching on DLive. Good to have you down under. Poor you in Australia. I hope you're not New South Wales. So life is bad there." But yeah, well, that's a whole other story. It's amazing how the judicial system treats different people differently. This was a story from New York. Let me bring up the video clip. This was about a shooting in a Texas school. Let me bring up the 20-second, 30-second video clip, and then bring up the headline.
"He is a black male, 18 years of age. We have a car that he is currently driving, or we believe is driving, is a 2018 silver Dodge Charger. License plate P as in Paul, F as in Frank, Y as in Yankee, 6260. We currently have multiple agencies, including the U.S. Marshals Task Force, that is looking for this individual. Again, this is a collaborative effort between state, local, and federal agencies to bring this person to justice. So.
I'm Tracy Aaron.
So that was a shooting in Texas. This is a huge, huge. I saw the row of 20, 25 buses trying to get kids out of there and before they were gunned down and killed. This is what's come out in the New York Post. We don't know the details, but again, it's weird how the justice system doesn't give justice to some. Suspected Texas high school gunman reportedly got welcome home party. This is 8th of October, so yesterday's story in the New York Post. The Texan teen who injured four people when he allegedly opened fire at his high school celebrated his release from jail with a twisted welcome home party, even as one of his victims remains in a coma. Timothy George Simpkins, 18, who attends Timberview High School in Arlington, posted $75,000 bond at Tarrant County Jail on Thursday and headed home to confinement. The student, who was charged with three counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, was seen in videos on social media sharing a celebratory family gathering in his kitchen. And there they are all together. I don't understand how a judge could let someone who goes on a shooting rampage in a school go home to dinner with his family. It's just weird.
Yeah. Just what message does that send? What message does that send? How is that a deterrent? And what an insult to the person who was shot. And basically, I mean, this is a really hard thing to say because you know what we're all thinking. And we're thinking, is this kind of reverse sort of racism that, okay, because of his skin color, is the judge actually thinking that he's more of a victim? Or, you know, has Black Lives Matter really just done such a, I say vault fast, but has it influenced society to an extent where basically now we cannot see, it's made us more racist because we cannot now see beyond skin color. I mean, I don't actually care what background he comes from. You know, somebody goes into a school with a gun and shoots his mates, you know, for whatever reason, you know, he's a danger to society and should be locked up. You know, it is unfathomable. Words fail. I kind of feel really awkward saying this because, you know, everyone wants to jump on and say, well, you must be racist and you're featuring this story because you're racist. And it's actually, but why has the judge let him off? If this was a white guy, if this shooter was a white guy, would the judge have taken the same decision? Has the judge actually got a record of doing this, of letting other similar school shooters go free? I mean, what is going on? Is it that he cannot see beyond skin colour and he thinks, okay, you know, the political climate is such, you know, I've got to give somebody a chance. I'm sorry, I don't care. You shoot somebody in a school, you don't get given a second chance. And, you know, and it's horrible, actually. We've all become so much more divided and so much more hypersensitive about race and about background, and not in a good way, not in a good way at all. You know, I can see us becoming more racist in a way. Yep. I don't think that the UK is a particularly racist country. I know lots of people will disagree with me, but because we are becoming so, so sensitive about cultural background, about skin colour. You know, it's just making us, it's blinding us to justice, and it's blinding us, you know, to the common good and doing what's right. And, you know, the common good and society demands that a bloke shoots up his school and he gets locked up and he gets a hefty sentence and there's a deterrent. I mean, he could have killed someone. Well, he's obviously given somebody life-changing injuries. But, you know, we say this and we say, look, society's not going in a healthy direction here. And then suddenly everyone, you know, nobody debates in good faith anymore. And everyone wants to see bad motives. And so they pile in and they steam in with accusations of racism. But what do you expect people to say? You know, we're looking for a reason. We're looking for a reason why this guy wasn't banged up. What is it?
Exactly. We've all talked about censorship on social media. This is one that we'll just touch on for, I think, 2 minutes, because it's quite a confusing story, and there've been lots of whistleblowers coming out, especially on COVID. Tons of whistleblowers coming out that haven't really got a lot of media attention. This is the Guardian's headline: the whistleblower who plunged Facebook into crisis. And this is Frances Haugen, a former product manager with Facebook, testified before US senators about what she had seen in her 2 years there and set out why she decided to leak a trove of internal documents to the Wall Street Journal. So it goes on. Now, it's interesting because someone sent me this, and this is her profile on, let me bring it up. Is it her Twitter? This is her Twitter profile. And I just kind of, it's interesting. I think sometimes we're played. This here, Frances Haugen, she goes to the Wall Street Journal. Within 2 days, she's in front of a Senate committee giving hours of deposition about Facebook. Here is her Twitter profile. She's, of course, got her blue check mark. She joined in October 2021. So she's come out as a whistleblower. She's got a profile that's just been created on Twitter. 57,000 viewers in a week. Got approved and is a whistleblower. She's down as a Facebook whistleblower. So it seems she's appeared out of nowhere. I wonder that sometimes the media seem to produce a story to fit their narrative, and we're told they actually are whistleblower, they're exposing some dark evil secret, but it seems just it doesn't fit with a narrative. So it's just a strange story.
Yeah, no, it is. I followed this one and I thought I'm not quite sure what to make of it, and it's just manufactured, isn't it? It's completely and we know as well Twitter and their blue ticks. So when you were plugging me, one thing I didn't say is I've been a columnist for a Catholic newspaper since 2013. I'm pretty well known, and I've had lots of people try to parody me and make fake accounts, etc. Will Twitter give me a blue tick? Will they buff like? Not that I really care, actually. It's really a badge of honour not having one. This is why people just don't trust what they see, because we've seen the censorship happening by big tech. You know, you say anything vaguely anti-vaccination or whatever or on social media, and straight away you're being banned, you're having your comment removed, they're sending you to correct sources of information. I just think, what's this about? And actually, what is it that she's, in terms of whistleblowing on Facebook, she's just said what we all know anyway, hasn't she?
Yeah.
And it made me laugh, you know, I think it was to the Senate, was it the interview with CNBC, and they were saying, oh yeah, you know, Facebook is and social media is designed to get children hooked. Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is big news. You know, it should be fairly obvious. You know, if you've got a kid, keep them away from social media. You know, and we're all supposed to be like gasp or to revelation, you know. But, yeah, it is strange.
Then another one which probably is outside certainly my expertise and probably not an issue you normally talk to. This is China and Taiwan. I just wanted to bring it up because it is a big issue which is happening. I don't know if we have much to add to it. We expected this after Afghanistan, that actually if America are not going to step up and protect its allies, that actually Taiwan is next. And here we have China warns Taiwan against playing with fire and says war could be triggered at any point after sending dozens of warplanes into island's airspace. President of Taiwan vowed to do whatever it takes to guard Taiwan, but she indicated that without help from allies, China would seize the island. Nearly 150 Chinese warplanes have flown into Taiwan's airspace since Friday, and President Xi has described the seizure of the democratic island as inevitable. Obviously, they go for Taiwan, they take over control of the semiconductor industry, and then, well, maybe to step onto Japan. It's quite concerning for, I guess, world stability. We're not really stable worldwide, but this just causes even more tremors.
Well, I'd like to think that it's President Xi just giving it the big one and saber-rattling, and that actually he knows the consequences, actually. But I also, there is some testing of the waters here. I mean, this wouldn't have happened. It's interesting he didn't try it under Trump. And what's very clear is that we just don't stand up to China. You know, for years we have been, we know of the dreadful human rights abuses happening in China, the Uyghurs, you know, the forced sterilization of women, you know, the wicked one-child policy, which, oh great, it's been relaxed to two. We know that China is a dreadful oppressor of their people. And yet, because we depend on them economically, we welcome them with open arms. So we've seen democracy absolutely stifled and dumped upon from a great height in Hong Kong. What did we in the UK do? Maybe a few strong words, not even that. So, you know, I think President Xi is, he knows that he's not actually going to get that much opposition from the West. Biden seems weak. It's funny, he didn't rattle his sabers under Trump. I'd like to think, be optimistic and think this is just saber rattling, because I don't actually think that China wants the repercussions of what could happen if he did invade Taiwan. But there is a bit of testing the water going on. You know, what have the West done in relation to China? We never stand up to China because we depend on them too much economically. And this has been going on for 20 odd years. Yeah. So, you know, we've put ourselves over a barrel and in a very difficult position over it.
Yeah, completely. Let's fire through some COVID stories. Let's see if we can go 5 stories, 2 minutes each, because there's quite a few and I just want to touch on them. The links will be in the description when we finish. I'll stick them down there. So they'll all be there for you to follow. So there are quite a few. We'll do the YouTube-friendly ones. No, sorry, that's Taiwan. Sorry, let's finish with Taiwan. Bye-bye, Taiwan. Let's bring up the...
Can I just say, I'm liking some of these comments. I really liked someone made a very good point about, you know, the killer in America celebrating with his family, and actually, you know, what on earth were the family doing there, allowing him to celebrate, and that, yeah, he's a risk to society. So, yeah, I'm reading all your comments. I'd like to join in, but I can't.
She doesn't have any time just to talk. She can't look at the comment. Obviously, I go through the live comments after. Obviously, when we have live ones, we put the live comments up. When we have pre-records, we generally don't do the live comments, but you can comment after. So we try and do pull them in, but we could spend all our time going through comments and not retouching stories. And then it'll be a different program. Sometime, actually. Let us know what your thoughts are on that. Do you want Hordes of Oak to do a phone-in program? If you do, then let us know. Good to have your thoughts on that. It's something we've looked at and one of the many ideas that we could go down. So let us know whether you'd like us to follow on with that. So let's do, 2 minutes of story. Here we have, in the Washington Post, hospital system says it will deny transplants to the unvaccinated in almost all situations. A Colorado-based health system says it is denying organ transplants to patients not vaccinated against the coronavirus in almost all situations, citing studies that show these patients are much more likely to die if they get COVID-19. I didn't think there was any requirements. I mean, there's no, obviously, if you're overweight, I guess that also has an issue. But there, if you need a transplant, then you're put on a list. And when you get to the top, you get a transplant. But this now seems to add in extra requirements.
Well, if they do that on the NHS, then I think people probably within their rights to stop funding the NHS. Given we don't know what the long-term effects are of the vaccine, and what if, you know, someone like me who's had COVID, as we discussed a few weeks ago, you know, has natural immunity and is actually better protected against the vaccine, against the virus, than someone who's been vaccinated. I think I read a research paper saying that, you know, the vaccine gives you one spike protein, whereas actually if you've had natural immunity, you've been exposed to 27 different proteins. So it scientifically doesn't really seem to make sense either, given that we don't know the long-term effects of the vaccine, you know, and how it affects, you know, we've had this issue with blood clots and capillaries. So it's just knee-jerk. It's knee-jerk and once again Project Fear trying to coerce people. I'd rather not have a transplant, thanks very much.
We'll bring up this story, and this is what the Daily Mail are talking about. Obviously, we'll not go into depth. I think it's this one is really an issue of choice and parents making decisions. We have, obviously, the jabs being rolled out. I've got a letter home for my older one. If any parents watch, I'm sure you'll also get letters home. And here we have the headline, "If any of these children are jabbed, we'll see you in court. Parents accuse school of GBH and threaten to sue if their teenagers are given COVID jabs without permission." For me, that's the key line, without permission. And it seems as though schools are given the right to give these jabs without parental permission. So what are your thoughts, Caroline?
Well, it's not really the schools, it's the NHS vaccination team. We've had the same. I think this is great. I think this is what parents should do. You should make it very, very clear to the school that they're going to be financially liable. And if your child is injured, you're going to sue them. It's very worrying. There was a story on Twitter. I can't remember. I know Julia Hartley Brewer retweeted it. But basically, somebody in a London school said that their child had gone into school and the school had jabbed everybody and said, "Oh, sorry, there was an issue with the parental consent forms, you know, we didn't get them." Fortunately, her son was one of two that stood up to them and said, "No, we're not having it." But basically, the teachers coerced everybody and said, "Come along now into the gym, you know, have your jabs." And there were only a couple of them that stood up to it, and they said, "Oh, sorry, we lost your forms, and anyway, we asked the children and they all consented." And somewhere, if I'd have known this, I'd have found the link. Somewhere, somebody put up a link in response, and it was a very good template letter. It was very polite about, "Just to be clear, I do not consent. I filled in the forms, but just so I'm telling you again, I do not consent to this, just in case there's any issue with the form and they get lost. Thanks for your support and understanding." So, it's almost worth, if you get one of these letters, emailing your child's head of year or your tutor or whatever and saying, "Just in case there's any issue with the form, I don't consent." And then it's absolutely crystal clear.
Yeah, I've done that. I've emailed and I'll be filling out my form. Make sure and as a parent, you make your position clear. Whether you want the child to get the vaccine or not, it's up to you as the parent who has that right, that responsibility for your child, the government, whoever it is. If you want Michael Gove or whoever else to have responsibility for your child, good luck with your psychic. I don't know what's up with you. So please do step in and take your responsibility. This was, again, we'll not really go into this much, because probably we can't. This is in Reuters. Finland joins Sweden and Denmark in limiting Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. This is limitations for children. And this seems to be, as obviously as more and more research comes out, more and more evidence comes out, they maybe have more concerns of certain types of the vaccine with certain groups of children. This is, I think there are now four countries, I think there was a fourth country that have also said they have limited the rollout of Moderna to children, especially to boys. So again, Karen, this is, if you go ahead and have it without having all the data, then you can't really go back and undo it.
No, and it just shows, you know, if all the Scandinavian countries or European countries, you know, people are beginning to say that this is, the risks of having the vaccine outweigh the risks of getting COVID, then why on earth in the UK are we insisting that the young people have this? It just makes no sense. If they've got stocks they need to use up, you know, what's going on? We've had the joint committee saying that actually children don't need it, and why just give them one dose? So, yeah, I mean, in some ways it's very good that this is happening, because people are beginning to ask questions, and it's not just like, oh, well, this is a bizarre right-wing conspiracy theory, or, you know, whatever else people want to throw at people who are hesitant. Actually, it's like, oh, hang on a minute, you've got other countries saying, we're not sure about this. Obviously, we're seeing side effects. We're not going to give this to young people. And you can't actually, it's much harder to cover up a decision of a government, isn't it? You know, you can take people off YouTube or, you know, censor social media, but you can't actually censor the news. So, I think it's quite a positive thing in a way, although, you know, awful for those who have been affected or who have, you know, I mean, my view is once you've had the jab, you can't get it out your system, you know?
Yeah, completely. Let's, our final one, and there are two or three other stories that will stick in the description. This one, again, goes back to the money that these companies are making. We've done a short 6-minute video, and the top four COVID vaccine companies will make half a trillion in costs for selling the drug by the end of next year. So it is financially lucrative for those companies. But here we have another company which hasn't done the vaccine up to now, Merck. And I don't know if I pronounced it right. Merck sells federally financed COVID pills to US for 40 times what it costs to make. The COVID-19 treatment, Molnupiravir, was developed using funding from the National Institutes of Health and the Department of Defense. Don't know why the Department of Defense are funding medication, but hey. And a 5-day course costs $17.70 to produce, but it is charging the US government $700 for the same amount of medicine, or 40 times the price. So the government, the taxpayer, fund the development, and then whenever they've got the product, they turn around and charge the government 40 times what it was. I mean, this is, as a company, it's amazing for their shareholders. They can get the money in to make it and then can charge 40 times over the cost to actually produce it. It's a win-win for the shareholders, definitely, not for us.
Yeah, no, nice money if you're in on it. I mean, it's staggering. And, you know, is this why they didn't want people to try ivermectin? You know, it's obscene. It's obscene, and it's immoral. You know, what can you say, really, Peter? What can you say? I mean, it's disgusting. It's outrageous. What about people in the developing world? But I mean, in some ways, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because if the vaccine works, why are they then producing yet another antiviral that's supposed to work? And I mean, great. In some ways, great. It's really good if we've got an effective antiviral that will work. But it just shows, you know, that we kind of rushed down this vaccine strategy. But no, I mean, it's utterly, utterly wicked. I'd love to know do we know who the major shareholders are in Merck?
Nope, I haven't gone that. I've only looked at Pfizer, Moderna, Sinovac, and Sinopharm, and AstraZeneca. Those are the ones that I looked at for video. But I think I'll need to delve a little bit deeper. As these companies are pushing these products, bringing them to market, it'd be interesting to look at actually how financially beneficial it is going to be for these.
I mean, if you don't want people to talk about Big Pharma, then don't let Big Pharma get away with it. Why aren't the US? Sorry, my general knowledge isn't great, but you know, in the UK, we'd have a government inquiry, we'd have the monopoly. Well, maybe not the monopolies emerge, whatever. You know, you'd have some watchdog stopping this. Why aren't the US government, you know, taking some responsibility for their taxpayers and saying, hang on, we're not paying that. We've paid you to develop it, and now you're charging us, 400 times the price. It stinks. It stinks of sort of like money laundering, Ponzi scheme. I suppose Ponzi scheme's not quite the right description, but somebody is lining their pockets. Somebody's happily lining their pockets at taxpayers' expense.
Well, millions of people are told, stay at home, lose your jobs. Others actually make money from you. I wanted to play just a few little clips for the end, and we could talk about these stories for another hour at least, but we'll not. Let me play just a few clips of some stories, and it may bring a little smile. Some of them may bring a smile to your face, because I know it's quite depressing. Here what's happened in Down Under in Australia.
Like, seriously, you need to wear the mask. You will be pulled up. If I've got to change the rules again... sorry, we haven't changed mask rules. If I've got to go further, then of course we will. We're not going to have police being lied to. We're not going to have people just flouting these rules. Wearing a mask is about keeping you, your loved ones, and every Victorian safe. It is not too much to ask. The nurse in the intensive care ward will be wearing a mask. And it's not too much to ask that you wear a mask in order to avoid that nurse having to treat more patients than they otherwise would.
Oh, you know, I'm not a violent person, but I just want to, but honestly, I want to swear at him and make
don't say anything about the wonderful Dan Andrews, who's doing a wonderful job down there in New South Wales.
Who does he think he is? Who does who do these people think they are? If I've got to tell you, you're not my dad. You're not my dad, and masks are a panacea. They don't work. They're ineffective. They're disgusting and unhygienic. Go away, you stupid man.
Let me bring... Wait. This is in Ireland. I've seen many similar pictures like this. This is in Ireland. You see the politicians getting a photo op. See the children. Now, there is a big difference between the politician and the children. The politicians are not wearing a mask. The children are wearing a mask. They're all beside each other. Again, you make your own conclusions. Maybe being a politician immunizes you from any virus. Obviously, it does, especially in Ireland. So that's Ireland. Let me bring you up this clip, which is a cashier operator. I'm not sure where it's from. Let me play it anyway.
Wouldn't that be cool for work for you?
Where do you get it?
It says it on the side right there. Yeah, get that
with you. Very nice.
Yeah. So I just opened two more.
How much are they?
So that's why I got. Here's the key.
That's where California. Sorry, that's where we're ending up. There was two slightly longer ones, 1.5 minutes each. Before I'm going to cheer you up, let me depress you slightly further. Here we go. This is what could be on your child's Christmas list. Here we go.
Nenuco, ¿estás malito?
Termómetro con luz y esto es un test.
Cara rojita, jarabe, tirita, mascarilla.
Y una vacuna.
Vacunado. Tu carnet y después otro test. Verde, curadito.
Nenuco, ¿estás malito?
Oh, give your child nightmares. I mean, no, we're going to have a generation of psychologically damaged children.
Oh, yeah. I think we're well past that point. So, yes, yeah. I think the seeds of our destruction of our society are already well and truly sown. Let me dip What? I'm looking at my list. Okay, we'll play this because this is a funny clip. Only one swear word in it. Dave Chappelle, an American comedian, has been criticized quite a bit for his views. And let me bring up Dave Chappelle and sit back and I'll let you watch it. Actually, I want to bring up, let me just bring up Dave Chappelle and let me find him. Give me 1 minute. It's just under 2 minutes. So I'll let you sit back, enjoy it, and then we'll say good night to you all. Let me see if here we go. Here is Dave Chappelle for some Biology 101 for you. So sit back and enjoy for 2 minutes.
And they've canceled people that are more powerful than me. They canceled J.K. Rowling. My God, J.K. Rowling wrote all the Harry Potter books by herself. She sold so many books, the Bible worries about her. And they canceled her because she said in an interview, and this is not exactly what she said, but effectually, she said gender was a fact. And then the trans community got mad as shit. They started calling her a TERF. I didn't even know what the fuck that was. But I know that trans people make up words to win arguments. So I looked it up. TERF is an acronym. Stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. This is a real thing. This is a group of women that hate transgender. They don't hate transgender women, but they look at trans women the way we blacks might look at blackface. It offends them. Like, ooh, this bitch is doing an impression of me. Now, I shouldn't speak on this because I am not a woman, nor am I trans. But as we've established, I am a feminist. That's right. I'm Team TERF. I agree, man. Gender is a fact. You have to look at it from a woman's perspective. Look at it like this. Caitlyn Jenner, whom I've met, wonderful person. Caitlyn Jenner was voted Woman of the Year. Her first year as a woman. Ain't that something? Beat every bitch in Detroit. She's better than all of you. Gender is
a... You see, he goes on. I'll not bring everything up. I think you have to laugh at these things. I have to think you have to realize that what it is, mock it, ridicule it, laugh it, and make sure you understand what you believe as an individual. So on that, I think I will say goodnight to our viewers. Caroline, thank you so much, as always. Great to have you on. Great to chat. Thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you.
And do go if you want more of Caroline, then you can follow her on Twitter. Twitter handle or carolinefarrow.net. Go on that and go and enjoy her many comments on Twitter, and there may be stories you haven't come across, and Caroline will bring them to you. So do go make use of those, absolutely. And to our viewers, thank you so much for being with us. Whichever platform you've been on, great to have you. Thank you for your comments, as I do go through them and read through them later. If you're listening on Podbean or any of our other podcasting platforms, thank you for listening. Do let us know how you're finding those. Those are really picking up. And yes, so thank you for that. If you don't get our weekly email, it means you haven't signed up. So do go to heartsofoak.org, click on that connect tab, stick in your name and email, and you'll get our weekly email. And any thoughts, ideas you have, we've done a lot of pre-recorded guests recently, probably 3 or 4 actually the last week. So also we have live, so it's a mixture of our guests, pre-recorded and live. Let us know what you think. Any ideas, any guests you want, any specific topics that we're not covering that you want us to cover, just let us know. Drop us an email, info@heartsofoak.org, or direct message us on any of the social media platforms. Let us know your thoughts. It'd be good to have them and try and incorporate them. And I think on that, good night to our viewers, and I wish you a wonderful weekend and look forward to seeing you on Monday with David Clues from Unity News talking about their latest campaign, nomorelockdowns.uk. So on that, thank you. I wish you a wonderful evening and we'll see you Monday.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. Donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsevoke.org. Thank you for listening.